I'd like you to open your Bibles with me again to Luke chapter 1. We looked last time at the preparation for this wonderful event with the revelation to Elizabeth and Zacharias of the birth of John the Baptist in chapter 1 of Luke 26 through the first part of 13 through 17 and stuff. But now we're going to look tonight today at 26 through 38 as he appears to Mary to proclaim the wondrous event that changed the world. And really, you think about the fact that this event began our calendar. The terms A.D. does not, as many people think, mean after his death, but rather Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. In fact, some of the old documents you'll find written, even in our America, say in the year of our Lord, 1776 or something like that. And that they really remembered that, and then we started abbreviating it. And now there are some people who want to change it from before Christ and the year of our Lord. They want to change it BCE, before the common era, and during the common era. And they just want to take that out. That's crazy. Because the birth of our Savior surely changes everything. And without him, we would have nothing. There would be no hope. There would be no fulfillment. God would not have proven all those promises in the Old Testament which he gave come to pass without the birth of our Savior. We'll not take time to look at all those promises today, maybe a few of them, but I would like us to read together, beginning in verse 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, we think about this wonderful story. Really, we see the introduction of the promise of John the Baptist that we read last time. He came into this world as the forerunner of Christ, the one who would proclaim, make straight the paths, the Lord's promised Messiah. He's coming. He's preparing the people. He was a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament that God would send forth that one who would fulfill those promises and be the Savior, but also the Messiah of Israel. And John was faithful. He always proclaimed Christ. I'm always impressed when I read the words of John's that are in the scriptures and also the words of Jesus concerning John about how faithful he was, and it was noted by the Lord. Chapter 1 of John 15, it says, John bare witness of him, talking about Christ, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then they said unto him, what art thou, that we may give answer to them that have sent us? What sayest thou of himself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe lashes I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Arba beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. You see, he was faithful. He proclaimed the Lord's coming. He proclaimed that he's more important than I am. He is preferred before me. He was before me. All these things coincide with the promises we read early in John chapter 1, 1 through 14. And yet, he was not afraid to declare what God had told him to say. Even though they wanted to try and put him in their little box of understanding, are you Elias, you that prophet? Or, well, why are you talking about? He said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way straight, make prepare for the way of the Lord. He was faithful. You see, some of us sometimes we think, well, I'm not special enough to do anything for God. Yet God chose John very specially, and he was humble. He did not glory in the fact that he'd been born from his mother in old age, that God had made a promise to him. He'd be a Nazarite from his mother's womb, that he'd be filled with the Holy Ghost, even in his mother's womb, and all those things that are concerning John. He doesn't praise himself for them. He praised the Lord Jesus Christ. He always lifted him up. John is a great example to us of how we ought to serve the Lord. We ought to do what he's told us to do and keep him first place in our mind and in our heart and in our words. Chapter 3, verse 30, he said later, he, talking about Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. You see, we see God using John the Baptist in a wonderful way. He always gave Jesus the praise, and he always obeyed God. And we want to use that as an example for us. I found another verse here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, we praise God. He's the one that does the work. I thank God for everything that people do in the name of the Lord for the Lord's sake. But sometimes it seems like we're so busy praising the servant that we forget God's the one who deserves the praise. You recall the story of Jonah and the great fish that swallowed him and all that. He went and preached to the people against his will, and God sent revival. And Jonah's up there on the hillside mad at God because he spared those people. And he sent a gourd to grow up, you know, and give him some shade. And then after a while, the worm came and ate the gourd and it died. And Jonah's complaining because he lost that. You know, we're like the worm. We're just a servant. We don't deserve the glory and the praise. We deserve to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me opportunity to be a part of your great plan. God has done wonderful things. Well, now, the angel that spoke to Elizabeth and Zacharias earlier comes to Mary. Both times in verse 26 and later on, in verse 36, it tells us what it means by this 6 month. It's the 6 month with Elizabeth. So that period of time had passed. I think I mentioned before that John and Jesus were cousins. And so Mary, a little bit later, we're going to see, verse 39 and forward, after she received this revelation from God, she went up to visit Elizabeth. She wanted to learn some more about this thing. But can you imagine her feelings as the angel appeared before her? The first words always, it seems to me, when I read of angels appearing to people, and they know their angels. It says, fear not. Whatever there is about these servants of the Lord that come down and reveal God's special plans to us, they are all awesome in the sense the people that are seeing them often want to bow down. They say, no, get up, get up. I'm not God. The angels of the Lord never receive worship. They always say, no, I'm just a servant. But they inspire fear. Why? Maybe because of the glory of God shining from their face. I don't know. Moses, when he went up on the mountain, received the Ten Commandments. He came down, his face shined, and he put a veil over it, you know, so the people wouldn't notice when the shine went away. But it affected them being in the presence of God. Whatever the reason is, he encourages her, don't be afraid. And he honors her with this salutation. He says, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. See, she'd been chosen specially, singular, thou. Thou art blessed among women. She had been highly favored of God. God had a special plan for her life. Now, that plan was not without pain, not without conflict, but it was God's special plan for her. Do you believe that God has plans for us? I do. I believe God has a plan for every person. It's not always the same as Mary's that would transcend the laws of, quote, so-called nature. But God has a plan for us individually. And he wants to use us mainly in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. As he said in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, not all of us are going to preach in the sense of standing behind the pulpit. But preach means to proclaim. Tell people what you know. Go into all the world and be a witness. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. A witness is someone who tells what he knows. You don't tell necessarily what you think, but what you know. What you've seen and heard and understood. You can tell people, before I was lost, then I met Jesus, he saved my soul, and he changed my life. That's a great testimony. It doesn't matter whether you were young, I was 14, or whether you were older in years. Doesn't matter if you've had a lot of bad experiences in the past before you were saved, or you'd been separated by God's gracious plan and keep you away from those sins of this world, but you trusted Christ. You see, the Bible says we all need that. Every one of us, even Mary. Later on in her praising of God in the verses to follow, it said that she would have, in verse 43, Elizabeth is talking, and what is it, the mother of my Lord should come unto me? She realized who she was, and Mary even talked about Jesus Christ the Savior. And so we see she was highly favored, though she needed the Lord just like we do. And God blessed her. And she wondered when he said this, what kind of salutation is that? That word be, what kind of a greeting is that? What kind of an introduction is this? Hail thou that are highly favored among us. You know, she was troubled in her mind as she didn't understand it. But the angel encourages her. He says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. The second time it said, first time just proclaimed. Now he's encouraging her. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. He gives her the details of God's plan for her life. Shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He tells him who he is. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of this kingdom there shall be no end. All those referring to the promises God had given years before to the nation of Israel. Through the line of David the king, God had promised would come the Savior. You recall back in Genesis at the fall, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, the first promise of the Savior, looking forward to the birth of Christ. And the way it's written, seed of the woman, gives us an idea of what actually God had planned, born of the virgin. Because naturally, it was the seed of the man, not of the woman. But Jesus was born without a human father. God even prefigured that in those cryptic words in Genesis chapter 3. And on through the years, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he made promises that he would come. Through Abraham, the whole world should be blessed through thy seed. And Paul tells us in Galatians, he said, in thy seed, not seeds, as of many, but seed as of one, that is Christ. It fulfills the promises. And of all the other things that are coming to the future, you know, some of them haven't yet come to pass. Jesus not yet sitting on the throne of his father David. He's sitting in heaven. But you know, there's coming a day when he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. He's going to rule in this world. We look forward to the coming of Christ to return to this earth. We call that the second coming of Christ. He comes in the air to bring up his believers. And then seven some years later, he comes back to the earth and he sits on that throne and he rules the world from Jerusalem. God's plan. It's amazing what he's promising here. And I believe that Mary had some idea of what was being said here because of her upbringing in her family. And of course, her fiancé, as we call him, the man to whom she was espoused, Joseph, he was also in the line of David. You can think what a wonderful challenge is given her. The highest honor that could ever befall someone in the line of David to be the mother of the Savior. And yet, the way it's presented to her seems impossible. How shall this be? See, I know not a man. You know, the Bible uses that term of a husband and wife knowing each other together as a physical union. And she said, I've not done that. See, it's said often and often. She was a virgin. She was pure. She's not yet gone to in that physical intimacy that was natural. And she knew the birds and the bees, as we call it. She knew how it worked. But the angel said, no, this is not going to be the normal way. This is going to be unique. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. What a promise. Never had happened before, never happened again. Against all the laws that we observe with our natural eyes as the way how things work, he promised this should happen, would be to her. And then he gives her that word of encouragement about Elizabeth, her cousin, in the sixth month, who was before called barren. And then that great phrase, it's on one of the stones out there on the church front, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. You know, we use that verse to reference the fact that God blessed us with building this new place of worship. Some thought would never happen, but with God, nothing's impossible. But you know, it's nothing compared to Mary bringing forth the Son of God. I mean, that was so much greater than building a beautiful place in which to worship. Because men were involved in that. What Mary received, only God could do. You ever think of that? When God does his work, it's marvelous in our eyes. Though he uses us, we ought to be able to say, no matter what he challenges us with, God, nothing's impossible. You recall the scripture in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you hold on to the promise of God, that he will enable you to do what he has told you to do, you're not going to be afraid, you're not going to give up, you're going to go on until the end. Because where God guides, God provides. That's true. He provided for her what could not be. And then the most amazing words out of her mouth in this portion, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She just accepted it. Carte blanche, as we say. Some of our folks have been in the military and you proclaim an oath to defend the United States Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you pledge it with your life. Mary pledged her life in service to God. Now, maybe she didn't comprehend all the heartaches that would come to her as a result of that, but she trusted God. Later on, people accused her of being unfaithful. Joseph even had some problems understanding until the Lord revealed to him what was going on. People criticized Jesus in his ministry early on in life. We know who our father was, who is yours. And all that continues on through the years. But God had told her what was going to happen, and she believed it by faith. And God performed it. Are we willing to put our lives on the line for him and do what he says and trust God will enable us? Boy, that's a great challenge to us. And so then, verse 39, as we continue the reading, She arose those days, went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake out with a loud voice and saying, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is it this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Imagine, what a speech. You know, some people would have us believe that nobody in those days of the ladies would know anything. Well, she sure knew a lot, didn't she? She had been taught from the Old Testament teachings of what God had promised. And she held on to them. And I like what she said, My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Don't let anybody confuse you with the idea she didn't need one. Of course she did. She's just like us. But she was blessed above us in that she was chosen for this unique responsibility and opportunity to bring forth the Savior. And she's right ever since. All people call her blessed. Surely she is. And I always love to honor that speech that she's given here. So often it's omitted from our remembrance at Christmas time because it's so long, but it's in the Bible. And God put it there for a reason. You notice how she again exalts God in what he's doing, not according to her own deservedness, but God's grace. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. You see, it's not because we are so important that God chooses us. It's because God chose us, we become important. You remember the song once in a while we sing around here, I sing in a country. I've done so much for thee. I gave up fame and fortune. I'm worth a lot to thee. No, Jesus said, I left the throne in glory and counted it but loss. You know, we didn't give up anything but our sin to get saved. And if we suffer, if we die upon a foreign field, no matter what it costs us in this earth, it'll be worth it all in heaven. Surely, no man is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot is known for those words written in his journal as he and four other men went down to South America to try and reach a group of native people there that had never heard the gospel. And they worked for months, dropping gifts and things, finally getting down to try to meet them in person. Unknown to them, those natives had the idea these were cannibals coming to get their kids. And of course, they defended themselves and threw arrows and spears at them. And those men died, martyrs for Christ. Part of the story most people don't notice is they had guns and they chose not to use them. Said, how can we kill the people we came to preach Christ to? They gave their lives. And later, two of the women came down and spoke to those people and showed Christ to them and explained, no, we didn't come here to steal your children. We came to tell you of God. And the amazing thing that also came to that story was that native group had a tradition, a story from long ago that someday a child would come tell great news, and it was fulfilled in the faithfulness of these widows, one of whom brought a little child with her. I say, how could you go out into a place where they killed your husband? Because God called them, and God sent them, and God enabled them. sometimes we get discouraged thinking those people don't want to listen. They're against everything we believe. They voted this and they do that and they're trying to kill us. God's word says that he is able to save to the uttermost all who come to faith in Christ. Are we willing to tell them? I've read in the stories on the computer, information coming of the work God is doing in Iran, reaching people for Christ through various ways, because God is interested in people being saved. But you don't like those people, they're killing us. Yeah, thank God you're not killing somebody. I'd rather be the victim than the victimizer. I'd rather die for Christ in his great plan to reach people than to save my life for a few years on this earth and then miss that opportunity to obey God. We can't keep our life, but we can give it. Mary didn't keep her comfortable situation. She trusted God. And we'll see at another time Joseph's reaction to 3 months away and coming back after God had given her that conception. And it's not always an easy road, but it's the good road, because God's blessing goes with it. Let's have our invitation this morning. It's away in a manger.